That's Don't You Love Her Madly, or Just Love Her Madly by The Doors. And the lovely sound of Jim Morrison there at just 7:05 in the morning. Hi, this is Adam.
Hey, this is Joe.
And we are Adam and Joe, collectively. We're like a kind of doctor team.
That's right.
We come and we help people with their problems.
Yeah. Which bits of the doctoring do you do, Adam?
I generally stand by next to you while you're working, and I shake my head and I go, doesn't look good.
Yeah, I do all the undressing and touching.
We've both been struck off a number of times.
I ask you to cough. And then touch you in various places and see what the response is.
Joe does most of the cupping. We've got a great show coming up for you. We're going to be talking to my father, Nigel Buxton, a.k.a. Bad Dad. Some of you out there may remember him from the show we used to do on Channel 4. And he's going to be ranting at us a bit later on.
But that's specifically tied in with this morning's Text the Nation, which has, you know, grown from a tiny seed on Monday into one of the strongest trees in the BBC conceptual forest. Right?
Well said, yeah. Absolutely.
In the ideas wood.
And we've even amended the jingle.
There's a new jingle.
If you were listening yesterday, we unveiled a jingle for Text the Nation. Today, it's been slightly amended.
Yeah, it's a ningle.
A ningle?
A new jingle. It's very early. Come on, that's the best I can do.
I think it's probably time we played some music.
Yeah, let's have some Pigeon Detectives. This is called Take Her Back.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it? Take Her Back by the Pigeon Detectives. This is Adam and Joe here on Six Music from the BBC, the Big British
the
Castle.
The BBC.
The bastion of British
contents.
Contents.
Yeah?
Yes, there's a list of all the contents of Britain here within the walls of the BBC.
Hey, I've just been reading some emails we've had overnight. Don't forget you can email us at Adam and Joe. Is it at Six Music?
Adam
no.
AdamandJoe.6Music.
AdamandJoe.6Music@bbc.co.uk. We do love getting your emails, and you can text us on 64046. Yeah. You can text at any point during the show. You don't have to wait for our major event happening, text happening thing. You can text or email us at any time.
Text the Nation feature, that's what you were reaching
for. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is incidentally coming up at around 8:30 today, so stay tuned.
Is that the best time for it? At what time, Lisa, our producer, does listening peak for this show? I'd imagine a lot of people leave for work at about 8:30.
Yeah, I mean,
or is that good? Do they get in their cars?
Well, it's summer holidays at the minute, isn't it?
So. It is summer holidays.
What
happens to the summer?
Yeah, exactly.
But do you know what? Actually, most of Britain is beautiful today.
Is it?
Apart from the southeast, yeah. There's just a big cloud hanging over London to punish it for being a contemporary Sodom and Gomorrah.
Exactly, for being a giant sewer. But I did check the 15-day weather forecast.
Did you?
Yesterday.
I didn't know they could do it that far in advance.
You can do it 100 days in advance.
Can you really?
It's entirely inaccurate.
It's speculative.
It's more mainly wishful. Yeah. Although, sometimes the 15-day forecast is not bad. And the one I checked yesterday...
What did it say?
It said, yes, Joe, that today's, this morning's...
Morning.
Bad cloud weather...
Cloud weather.
...will give way... To bouts of happy sunshine.
Oh, happy sunshine.
Sometimes obstructed by cloud, but mainly happy.
It's going to be nice in London for the weekend anyway.
Yeah.
Not that anybody else listening who's not in London cares, but it's going to be nice for the carnival. The London Carnival of Violence that will happen this weekend. Stabfest, they call it.
I'm pretty sure they don't call it Stabfest.
They don't call it that. I do.
And then it's going to get even better the week after that, apparently.
Is it really?
According to my wishful 15-day forecast.
So this is like a sort of trough, but it's gonna peak.
Absolutely, yeah. We're through the worst.
We're kind of saving up for amazing weather.
Yeah. Sleeper. What are your memories of the band Sleeper? And
there was a lady what sung for them.
Louise Wenner.
She was around the place. When they were around the place, she used to turn up on TFI Friday the whole time.
That's right.
People would cheer their socks off.
Well, she was a bright, intelligent young woman.
She's a novelist now,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
She wrote a novel.
She's written several novels.
Severin?
Severin. That, oh man, still very early. This is called What Do I Do Now? You're shuffling your papers very loudly.
I want to read the news.
Well, you shuffled all over the end of the Sleeper track there.
I might have improved it.
You were shuffling around and shuffling, and there was papers shuffling.
What's that?
Buster Bees, like we used to say.
That's a bed. That's too good to be a bed.
That is quite a good bed.
Listeners, don't you think? We just want to hear that. We don't want it as a bed. Anyway, we'll have it as a bed.
That's Papa Don't Take No Mess by James Brown.
So listen, yesterday we were talking about computer startup sounds. We were kind of proposing that Brian Eno wrote the Macintosh computer startup sound. Well, Peter McMullen has texted us, and he says that Eno actually created the Windows startup sound. Now, we, Adam and I, don't really know what the Windows startup sound is, because we don't really have Windows.
Yeah.
But he also says, rumour has it that Eno created it on the Mac, though. But it's kind of not, you know, it's only a rumour.
Oh, I
see. It's not officially known.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Was it aggressive, the email?
No, there are some drawings of us being, you know, attacked.
Ugly and stupid.
No, there aren't. It's a very, very nice, succinct email.
Well, that's good. That makes a change. Usually it's like, you idiots.
What's the Windows startup sound, though? It can't be better than the Mac
the
one,
Windows
can it?
The Windows startup sound is... That's what it
that's
sounds
very
like.
Insulting to all Windows users.
It's...
That's a sound you might remember from the playground.
From the play. And from Channel 4 on a Friday night. Nowadays.
Yes.
Which I haven't watched. When was the last time
is
you watched
Is that how they pitch programs for late night Channel 4?
Pretty
now?
Much, yeah. They go...
Got a new idea.
And it's got Justin Lee.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Let's have 12. That was quite bitter, wasn't it?
That was.
That was slightly bitter.
It was slightly bitter satire.
Yeah.
Bitire.
Yeah. Anyway, so I thought I should clear up that whole startup sound thing. Maybe someone could tell us, maybe someone could describe to us verbally what the Windows startup sound is. Yeah. I like verbal descriptions of abstract sounds, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. Or if you're in a position to...
I don't know where I've ever come across one before.
Just play it to us down the phone, that would be good as well.
Yeah.
What would be the number that they would call?
They text us first.
They text you first.
Yeah, there's a procedure.
Here at the British Broadcasting Castle... Can't just phone in. You have to be vetted.
Absolutely. It takes several years.
MI6 are involved.
Yeah, that's right.
Jason Bourne is involved.
Okay, more music right now. This is Dinosaur Jr. with Crumble. The language of football. Give us some more examples of the language of football.
Kick, sport, goal, boot, oi, ref, shat it, oi, half-time, orange, shirts off, lads, bath. Oi!
That's good.
Fight!
Now, do some commentating for an imaginary football match.
Well, the ball is being passed there from Rogelson. Ooh, love it. Ooh, dear. Ooh, passed up the pitch. Ooh, dear. Ooh,
and Rogelson's come in with a lovely move across the grass. And he's moving there towards the
If I can butt in, Tony, he is attempting to get the ball in the goal. That is his aim, and he's kicking it to other players in order to achieve that.
Look at that ball.
Look at it. It's
Look
so
it.
Round.
It's round.
Glistening. Little bits of grass on it. Lovely powering across the pitch.
The ball's slowed down now. And someone else has moved towards the ball. Anyway.
As you might gather, we don't really understand football.
Don't understand Adam or I. Language of sport.
It's a bit like, to me, as if, you know, you could play a game from the 1930s. Mm. And I wouldn't know. The only difference, basically, would
Hoopstick.
Be the shorts. No, a game of football.
Oh, I see.
Those clips in that trail, they could have been from any game in the last 400 years,
right.
As far as I'm concerned.
When you said a game in the 1930s, I immediately thought of Hoopstick because, you know, it's a fun one.
Yeah. Anyway, hello, we're Adam and Joe. This is the BBC Six Music Breakfast Show. We've been given the privilege of being able to raid the archives here at Six Music.
Yeah, most particularly the Peel Sessions. And I have alighted upon this track. This was from 2001, and it's the Mighty Strokes, the Sexy Strokes. Who's your favourite stroke, Joe?
Oh, the one what goes out with that bird off of the films.
Yeah. Is that Nick Valenti?
No. Probably.
Fab Moretti?
I don't know.
He used to go out with Drew Barrymore. They've split up now, haven't they?
Didn't one of them go out with Scarlett Johansson?
At some stage, I would imagine all
of
them did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are moneyed New York boys.
They're sexy, thin-trousered men. And this is a track from their Peel session called Someday. Oh, that's very good, isn't it? That's the Strokes with Someday. It's weird, though, with those session tracks, because, I mean, that was almost identical to the album version of that.
Apart from his vocal, weirdly.
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't have that, his sort of megaphone distortion.
Right, it sounded as if he was, he'd just smoked a few too many cigars before arriving at the studio there.
Mm.
And he was reaching a little bit. But it's a strange thrill that a music fan gets from hearing a version of his favourite track that's almost exactly the same but slightly different. That's all you need sometimes, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I got that with the Prefab Sprout track we played yesterday.
Well, you know, that was a good example of a track that was significantly different, though. There was some extra instrumentation on there.
There was a guitar line kind of following the vocal line.
Yeah. We almost sounded like real music nerds then.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's two bands we know a bit about.
That's right.
It's unusual.
I've got a hello to say, yeah?
Is he allowed to do that at the Big British Castle?
It's a hello to a mega comedy celebrity.
Really?
Yeah, Peter Serafinowicz.
No.
Creator, co-creator of Look Around You, star of many great TV and film things, Shaun of the Dead, and
stuff.
Oh man, I should have written down all the. He's one of my favourite.
What are you going to? Are you going to say hello to him?
Anyway, yeah, he's working on a new show for the BBC. In fact, I think his own show for BBC Two.
I saw the pilot.
That's right. It's good.
It's very funny.
The Peter Serafinowicz show, and he is getting made up right now.
Is he
in a trailer?
I bet that takes a while.
It takes a long time.
Yeah.
So hi, Peter. Thanks for listening. Right now, here is the news. Editors. That's the correct way to pronounce the name of that band.
Now, I was watching them on telly the other day on one of the festival coverage programs.
Oh, yeah.
And the editors were playing away.
Not the editors.
Sorry. Oh, no.
You are the
I was talking about a different band. I was talking about a different band called The Editors.
Oh, right.
But what I meant to say was editors were playing along all dressed in grey with their grey backing and their neat haircuts. Mm. And it cut to the wings and there was Edith Bowman.
She goes out with Mr. Editor.
There we go. She was, like, bopping her head. She knew all the words. Mm. And I thought, she's a big Editors fan.
She's the biggest.
And then Adam Buxton told me that she's snogging one of them.
Can't get bigger than that as a fan.
Really? Yeah. No, you can't.
I mean, that's the dream of all the fans.
Is it?
Yeah. It's like Mrs. Newman. You know, Gary Newman's wife?
That's right.
She was, Gary was her number two.
She had a list. We know this because, again, we filmed with Gary Newman a while ago and we went and filmed a thing at his house. And she told us all about this. She had a list. Gary Newman's wife had a list of stars that she wanted to marry. And was Bowie number one?
I think Bowie was the number one star.
And who was number two?
Newmanoid.
Newmanoid was number two.
Yeah.
So she shot for Bowie. Didn't get him.
Didn't get Bowie, but she got Gazza. And
they're a lovely couple. They were lovely.
I'm still very much in love, still very happily married. Saw them in Hello the other day in their castle, that strange gothic castle.
Are they still living there? I thought that was demolished.
They're living somewhere that looks very similar.
Really?
Has fluffy handcuffs hanging on the ceiling.
What would happen if Bowie made a pass at her?
At her?
Yeah.
You reckon, if they were at some festival or other?
Do you think, you know there's that thing that some couples have? They have a special sort of get-out clause.
Yeah.
If a famous person, you know, they say, well, look, I'm faithful to you for all my life.
That's right.
But if George Clooney ever winks at me...
You're allowed.
I'm allowed.
There's a good episode of Entourage where that happens.
Really?
Yeah. And the guy's wife is allowed to sleep with the main bloke, Vincent Chase, and it happens. She bumps into him in a shoe shop. But,
Who would your one be?
Ooh, I have
who
to
would
think
your
about
get
that.
Out clause lady be?
I got to think about that. Should we play some music and I'll think about it? Because that's a big question, man.
It is a big question.
You can't just spring that on a guy.
I'm thinking Nastasia Kinski.
Ooh.
Circa 1984.
Thanks very much.
So mine involves time travel.
That's possible, theoretically. This is Iron and Wine with Boy with a Coin. The mighty Harry Hill.
I'm so excited about that. We're hyping it, aren't we?
Absolutely. Well, we can listen to that on Monday after we finish the show.
Yeah, that'll be good. It's like the release of Batman, the first Batman film.
He's a genius, Harry Hill. He's good, man. And you know who else is a genius? Is Al Murray.
Me.
He was on a show I did the other day. You're not a genius.
Come on, yes,
By
I am.
No means.
Come on.
In what way are you a genius?
I've got all kinds of ideas.
What's your best idea?
I can't tell you. They're too hot.
Come on.
They're too hot to say.
Give us one idea.
No.
Come on.
I can't. They're too good.
Write one down for later, okay?
All right.
One idea that proves you're a genius.
Shoes with words on the soles.
Not that
you
one again.
You dress in puddles and you print the words.
Anyway, we were talking about who would your celebrity person that you're allowed to sleep with be. And
yours would be Al Murray.
Maybe it would be Al Murray. I really do think he's great, Al Murray. I've forgotten. He's one of those people that's so... big and successful in a way, but he's got like a big hardcore of fans, but he's not like taken that seriously. I get the impression as like a cutting edge comedian and stuff, but Maybe that's just my misconception, but he's brilliant. Like, he's amazing. He's the quickest on his feet I've ever seen. Anyway, I might sleep with him, but if I had to sleep with a woman, it would be Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, she's, yeah, she's the lady. Listeners might know her as the lady in The Abyss, James Cameron's The Abyss. Has she been in anything since that? Since she was in The Abyss?
Yeah, nothing quite so big, I don't suppose. She was in a film called Consenting Adults as well. Do you remember that one?
Oh, that sounds crazy.
There was a lot of wife swappery going on in there, and I was delighted. But yeah, she was in The Abyss. What an amazing scene in The Abyss where she has to drown in order to be swum out by Ed Harcourt. What's his name?
Harris.
Ed Harris. And Ed Harcourt would never make it. Ed Harris has to swim her out. He's got the breathing gear and he's the best swimmer, so she has to drown and drag her to safety and then revive her.
Horrible business.
Oh man, it's the most amazing scene in movies for me, one of them anyway. And I always kind of envy her because he gets to snog Mastrantonio and revive her and she's eternally in debt.
Really? That's one of your sort of fantasies, is it?
Yeah.
A nearly dead woman spewing water into your face. Yeah. How very sensuous.
That is as sexy as it gets for me.
Listen, it's archive session track time. I'm excited about hearing the woman again close her big sexy door and say my name in an exciting fashion. I chose some stuff from Everything But The Girl, because I used to be a big fan of Everything But The Girl. Am I still? Not entirely, but when I was a little kid, I used to love them. So I had a look in the sessions, and I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, listeners. I don't really know this track very well.
Right.
That I've chosen. Is that too honest?
No, that's good enough. We skimmed through it, and this was the one that really grabbed our ears.
Yeah, but it's from the period when I used to love them. It's called Ballad of the Times. This is Everything But The Girl from 1985, from the Peel Sessions. Check this out. There we go, Everything But The Girl there. Well, that was a rather a lovely tune called Ballad of the Times.
That's absolutely... what is my problem? Sometimes I launch into speaking and it doesn't happen.
Give it another go.
Just doesn't happen. That was absolutely lovely, I thought.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about the fact that Tracy Thorn, the lead singer of Everything But The Girl, released a solo album earlier this year.
Worrying there that in the small chance that either Ben Watt or Tracy were listening, that would be that what I said about them would have been a kind of a Spinal Tap moment. Do you remember that moment in Spinal Tap?
Yeah.
When they hear their record?
That's great to hear that one again. Spinal Tap, currently residing in the Where Are They Now file.
I know, and there was me saying about Everything But The Girl that I used to like them in the 80s and implying that I don't anymore, and it's not true.
No, it's not.
They're very successful, and they're, you know, still very successful. They've had an amazing career. Every time you thought they might have be sort of fading a bit, they've come back stronger than ever. Yeah? Why are you laughing? Because I made it sound downbeat again, haven't I?
Now, it's good enough to say that they're a great band.
Yeah, they're a great band. Well done.
Now, what were we just talking about? Oh, yeah, songs to wake up to, we were talking about that.
Yeah, yesterday we were talking about what the best alarm clock sound was, and we had a bit of an alarm clock war. I came up with the most violently aggressive one. Adam had a lovely and soothing one. But we got an email from a guy called Nick. He doesn't give us any more information than that. It's just Nick. He is talking about the fact that he wakes up to a song. I guess he must program his clock radio or whatever, or his CD player or MP3 player.
Maybe his personal computer.
Yes, to wake him up to a song. And the song he chooses is Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses.
Oh, man.
And here's Nick's description of what happens when he wakes up. It starts with a kind of grating slash guitar noise, but it holds within it warm 80s memories, which, in a dazed awakening state, make you think this song rocks. But what is it? Even though you woke up to it every day for the last 3 weeks. The grating builds, but you've got only about 10 seconds before the howling starts. If you're not quick enough, you've reached level 2. Normally you're up by now and you've turned the howling off. But if you haven't, you know it must be the weekend and you can either progress to level 3, the screechy Axel singing with your head buried under the pillow, or you can shout along while you make a brew and wake the rest of the house up. So there you go, he's broken down Welcome to the Jungle into kind of stages of awakening.
Well, it's good to have a nice long intro for a track there if you're waking up to it.
Yeah.
Something like, you know, Stone Roses, I Want to Be Adored, which starts off with a sort of wash of ambient noise and weird sounds like clangs and factory sounds or something, and then gradually the guitars come in, and then the bass, it's very slow, it all takes about over a minute.
That particular song might soothe me back to sleep, though.
It's a bit too trippy.
Yeah, but it gets... Yeah, maybe you're right.
I'd have a sort of acid flashback.
Yeah.
Not that I've got anything to flashback to. And I fall back to sleep. But can you suggest, listeners, the perfect song to wake up to?
Wake Up Boo by the Boo Radleys.
Not that one. That's the one you're not allowed to suggest.
What about Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves?
No.
It's Got to Be Perfect by Fairground Attraction.
No, you're not allowed any of those.
Anything by Sixpence None the Richer.
Text your suggestions to 64046, or if you don't have a mobile phone, you can email adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk.
I wonder how this one by The Charlatans would work. This is Love Is the Key. Love Is the Key, you see, by The Charlatans.
That's true, you know.
You know, it is true.
It is.
And it can be used as a key replacement as well. If you ever,
really? Yes. If you're locked out?
If you're locked out.
What do? You just love the door.
You have to love the door, but you have to love it to such an extent and the lock. And it's a very difficult thing to do. Because
is it really?
When you get locked out, your natural impulse is toward fury.
Yeah, towards hate.
And frustration and mild depression. And it's very hard to get to a place.
Really?
It's very hard to get to a place where you really love.
Where you love the door.
Lock.
And you're just talking. You're not talking about making love to the door.
Yeah.
Are you?
That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
There's a lot of difficult things about it.
Wow. Well, there we go. There's some useful locksmith information, courtesy of The Charlatans.
Yeah.
Okay, we were asking you what the best song to wake up to would be. And literally, we're talking about like an alarm clock song, a song that would play in your ears just as you reach consciousness in the morning. And we've been inundated with suggestions.
Go on then, Joe.
When I say inundated, I mean six.
We got three.
Yeah. but you can continue texting to 64046. Here's one. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, go on then.
Are you ready, though?
To get closer?
Yeah. This is anonymous. Please... try and put your names on your text when you text in, because it's nice to put a name to the words. What's the matter?
A little bit passive.
A little bit touchy.
A little bit aggressive.
Okay, this comes from an anonymous person. I wake up to Sex Machine by James Brown. Think about it. Yeah. He spends the whole song shouting, get up!
That's
like
true.
A sex machine, no less.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get on up. That's true.
I know, that's a good choice. Not too aggressive. Kind of rhythmic. It keeps you perky.
Yeah.
Inspiring. Here's another one. You ready for another one?
Yeah.
Sarah in Manchester says, Wake Up You're Dead by Faith No More. No going back to sleep after that. Wake Up You're Dead.
Yeah, I don't know that track, actually.
It's a bit gloomy.
Faith No More. Well, we'll have some more of those in a second, but first, here's Super Furry Animals just before the news with Show Your Hand.
Amylase, that's a new product that dries out plaster faster than any other plaster drying product can.
That was Cajun Dance Party, which I think is a little bit misleading as a name for the band. You know, because you get excited about a Cajun dance party... and you don't get anything of the sort.
What was he singing about? You're the catalyst that makes things faster. Amylase dries out plaster.
It's a building song. It's a song for builders.
And is it? Is Amylase an actual product?
I would imagine
In which case, we shouldn't be playing it on the Big British Castle.
That's true. It might be coded, you know... thing, we can talk to Claire Privett about this. She is our serial thriller provider today, and she works in the advertising industry. Claire, how are you doing? Are you there?
Good morning, how are you?
Fine.
Very well, thank you. And you're in southeast London today, is that right?
I am. I'm very lucky to live here, yes, indeed.
Whereabouts in southeast London, Claire?
Hit the Green.
Lovely.
Near sort of Blackheath, Lewisham.
Very nice. Well done, congratulations.
Okay.
Doing pretty well. Got to be doing pretty well.
It's all right.
And you're at home getting ready to go to work. What time do you have to be at work, Claire?
I have to work at 9:30, so it's not too bad.
And home by what time?
Oh, gosh, about 7-ish.
Really?
And
what
yeah,
kind of a day? What kind of a day is it going to be? Is there anything you're worried about today?
I don't get worried about things.
Really?
I take it in my stride,
do you?
Absolutely.
No big accounts giving you any problems there, Claire?
Well, they always give me problems, but I can handle it.
Yeah. You know we're available.
Are you?
Yeah, for anything.
Pretty much
you're quite
anything.
Cheap.
We'll advertise anything.
Oh, great. I've heard that, actually.
We're expensive, actually.
We'll get you on our books.
Yeah, good
if
one.
You would.
We
yeah.
don't advertise actual murder. That's the only thing we don't do. But pretty much anything.
Yeah, but we have a need for that right now. So
anything,
okay.
anything that pollutes the environment, anything that exploits kids, we're there.
That's what we're into, actually.
We charge a little bit more for that sort of stuff, but pretty much we can work it out. What's your favourite film, Claire?
I have quite a few, but I do love Withnail and I.
Come on, you can't beat Withnail and
I. It's a classic.
If you met someone who, and you were talking about Withnail and I, and they said, that film, that's rubbish. Don't know why everyone goes on about it. You'd be, what would you do? I mean.
Well, I would just think they just don't know what they're talking about. Really.
Exactly. How old are you? Do you mind me asking, Claire?
You can't
I'm
ask 34. That.
34. I've just turned 34.
34. Okay. So you would have been a little bit young to go and see it at the cinema, right?
Yeah, probably just about. Yeah, but yeah, I've just been watching it.
But that is a film that made
for a long time.
Right. That's a film that made a massive impression on me when it came out. I went to see it at the cinema, and I was.
So you're a bit older then, are you?
Yeah, a little bit. And. Yeah. Man, I was falling off my seat laughing. Literally yes. Fell off my seat into the
Did you
aisle.
Literally
I
fall
literally
off your seat?
Fell off my seat laughing.
Wow.
It was amazing.
What a story.
I know. I was in the aisle. I was rolling around. I thought, it's a little bit sticky down here. I'm going to get back on my seat.
What kind of a cinema were you in?
I tell you exactly where I was. I was in Shaftesbury Avenue and, no, the Haymarket, Lower Haymarket. Mm. What's that one called? Mm. Anyway, I can't remember. But wow. Yeah, what a film. Favourite moment from that film, Claire?
It's really difficult, isn't it? Because there's so many, but I guess it's Uncle Monty.
Most of them are quite sweary.
Uncle Monty, yeah. He's got some of the best swearing bits in the whole film.
He has. He's just filthy, isn't it?
Yeah.
But listen, Claire, tell us what two songs you've chosen for us to have breakfast to this morning.
Well, I just chose a couple of tracks I was listening to the other day.
Claire, you hang on a second, Claire. You keep talking into your bra. And
into my bra?
Yeah, whatever you're doing there, it's getting a bit muffly.
Is that better?
That's perfect.
Okay. So I've just chosen a couple of tracks I was listening to recently. I've got The Cure, In Between Days, and New Order, Regret.
Great choice.
That was, yeah, exactly. The Cure, In Between Days, and Regret from New Order. Fantastic choice. And Claire, thank you very much indeed for being our serial
Thanks,
thriller
Claire.
Today.
No
hey,
problem.
And are we right in saying you are due to give birth soon?
In January.
In January?
Yeah.
Do you know what it's going to be, a boy or a girl?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I have no idea.
The miracle of the surprise baby
right,
person.
After all that, I want a surprise.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well,
listen.
Best of luck.
Absolutely.
It's wonderful. And thanks for your choices. What are we going to play first?
We're going to play The Cure, In Between Days. Okay. Hello, this is Adam and Joe. We're here on Six Music, filling in for Sean Keaveney for the rest of this week and all of next.
Yeah, it's 8, 15, 16, 17, 18. It's 8:18.
Joe Time Check Cornish.
Yeah,
loves
just,
to do
just in
time
case,
check.
You know, it's the morning that knowing what time it is very important.
And you join us just as Joe Cornish is trying to steal the last biscuit from Jenny.
Yeah.
Who is one of the
Jenny,
helping us this
our lovely helper lady, has bought in three are they Garibaldis?
They're a bit like Garibaldis, but
they're
more healthy.
Squash fly biscuits.
Yeah, yeah, they've got
yeah,
like
I haven't had one of those for
raisins.
Years, and they are amazing. Is it are flies really sweet? to the taste, are they? Does anyone know?
Oh, flies. No, they're not sweet.
Aren't they? They're bitter.
No. Also, you should never eat them. They carry disease.
Do they?
I don't know if you knew that or not.
Is disease sweet?
Well, funnily enough, some diseases can be tasty. A little bit tasty.
So listen, we've been asking you to text in your suggestions for the best song to wake up to. This is if you live in a kind of a War Games / Ferris Bueller style environment where you can have your computer cue a song or something like that in the morning. So are you ready for some of these, Adam?
Yeah, please, hit me.
The perfect, this is from somebody called 90 in Leeds. Mm-hmm. His name is actually a number.
Joe 90, spoke to him the other
there
day.
There we go. Yeah. The perfect wake-up song is the digital hardcore remix of Crash Power by everyone's favourite Japanese techno-metalist Mad Capsule Markets. You may never sleep again.
Mm.
So he's going for the there's two approaches to this. There's the soothing kind of approach, yeah. Wake up with a lovely optimistic song, or there's kind of like the hardcore in at the deep end, cold shower, like Metal Attack, Noise Attack.
That's for the youngsters though, you know? The older you get, the more soothing you want it to be, surely.
We don't know people's ages here, but Johnny is saying, how about Higher State of Consciousness by Josh Wink?
That's
wakes me up
one.
Every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, I'd be worried about kind of acid flashbacks there. Hello, Adam and Joe. I'd like to suggest Albatross by Fleetwood Mac as a wake-up track. Mm. Eases you into the day, and you glide like a bird all day.
That's true, isn't
That's
it?
That's lovely.
That is a lovely
That's
song.
That's from Jay. Let's Go Crazy by Prince. Yeah.
You know a good one that I would like to wake up to what? Is Who Loves the Sun by the Velvet Underground.
You know what I'd wake up to?
What?
Fantastic Day by Haircut 100.
That's a good idea.
You know? I think that would be solid gold.
What's the beginning of that? Oh, no, I'm thinking of Love Plus One is a nice...
Oh, that's Love Plus One, yeah.
That's lovely, though.
Yeah, is that Love Plus One as well? I can't remember. Anyway, and here's one from Cameron in Leeds. I used to wake up to the opening chords of Jeff Wayne's War of the Worlds at university.
Ding, ding, ding.
I was a very heavy sleeper, and the only way to remedy this was to scare myself awake.
Yeah, that would be a good one. I tell you another one is 20 Seconds to Comply.
Yes.
Remember that one?
Yeah. Now, who was that by? That sort of jungly trip-hop group.
Oh, forget.
We'll find out. Yeah, that's intense, though.
Yeah, that starts off with the sample from RoboCop, Ed 209,
yeah,
saying, "Please put down your weapon. You have 20 seconds to comply."
The Russian national anthem wakes you up right in the morning, says Ryan. What's the Russian national anthem?
I love Russia, yes I do, yes I do. I love Russia, yes I do, yes I do. And you love Russia as much as I do. We love Russia, yes we do, yes we do.
That's correct. And that's it. That's the end of that text competition with that stirring rendition of the national anthem. We're going to close that one off because soon it's time for Text the Nation. And don't forget, we've got a rejigged jingle. A re-jingle.
With some extra information for the jingle of Text the Nation.
Yeah, this is only because somebody complained by email yesterday that the Text the Nation competition was non-inclusive to non-mobile phone owners. And as you know, here at the Big British Castle, it's our mission to be inclusive.
We wish to include everyone.
Yeah.
And, of course, you're welcome to communicate with us any way you wish when we launch Text the Nation. It doesn't have to be just by text. And that will be made clear to you once you hear the jingle.
Yeah.
But now, here's the lovely Lily Allen.
Is it true that just the physical act of smiling makes you happy?
It is true.
Is it true it kind of stimulates blood vessels in the happiness nodes, synapses of the brain?
Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody out there, even if you're not happy, just have a go at smiling. Does that make you happy?
Even if it's insincere.
You have a go at
it. It'll work eventually. It'll work eventually. A smile is my natural. I'm smiling right now.
If you fake a smile, you can't fake a smile, can you? Look at that.
You can't.
That just looks so evil.
Yeah, it does.
It like the Joker.
A fake smile does look evil. You end up looking like Richard James, Aphex Twin.
Yeah, or Itchy the Killer.
Yes.
Yeah, have you seen that film?
That's right. You look like a kind of clown killer. But it does work. You know, sometimes when you're doing voiceovers and stuff like that, they say, come on, smile. And it just sounds like you're smiling. Put a smile in your voice.
Okay, so I tell you what, introduce this next song now with no smile.
Okay.
And then do it again with a fake smile, and let's see if we can tell the difference.
Okay, so no smile. This is my breakfast single of the week. It's the fantastic new single from Spoon called The Underdog. With a smile. This is my new single of the week.
It's
working, isn't it? This is Spoon with The Underdog. It's a peach. That's Spoon with The Underdog. This is Adam and Joe on Six Music. Now, here's the news read by Joe and Catherine.
The Smiths with Big Mouth strikes again. This is Adam and Joe, BBC Six Music, filling in for Sean W. Keaveney. Sorry, I got distracted by a huge crane moving past the window in a surreal fashion.
Oh, yeah, it looked as if the crane, the big metal hook bit, was just about to smash into the window.
Yeah, that was kind of a Godzilla moment. Yeah. Now, it's nearly time to play Text the Nation, our exciting new quiz that we're very, very proud of.
I think the whole play and quiz element is probably overstated there, don't you?
We've got to use some kind of words to describe it.
It makes it sound like
is it
fun
a quiz?
Game.
It's not a quiz, is it?
It's not.
What is it? What can we describe it
it's
as?
It's an opportunity to communicate with
It's
people.
Basically the same old rubbish we've been doing all morning, but with a new sort of name.
With a slightly different
name. Yeah, to try and differentiate things. So, you may remember that yesterday, Adam created an extraordinary compelling trail-like jingle for this segment of the show, and we had a complaint from a listener, and don't ever let it be said that we don't take listener complaints seriously here.
We take them very seriously. It was stated that we were prejudiced against those who did not have text capability.
Yeah.
Not true. You can
textist.
You can communicate with us in any way that you wish by email. You can use skywriting. It doesn't matter.
So he insisted that we adjust the jingle to include people without mobile phones, people who emailed. So are we ready? Are we going to unveil the new jingle? The new adjusted jingle.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
So you see, it's quite clear there.
Yeah, yeah.
That it's not a problem.
Yeah.
If you want to use email, text the Nation. Everybody,
you know what?
Is everyone happy now?
I miss yesterday's jingle when the woman said, when it went, text the Nation, text the Nation. And the woman went, I don't want to. And the other woman went, it doesn't matter.
That's all in there. It's still in there.
Is it?
It's still in
there. Did she say it doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter. Text.
Really?
At the end, yeah.
At the very end.
When you say woman...
You just play it once more. It's you doing a lady voice, isn't it? No. Or is it just a... Here we go.
Text the nation. Text, text, text. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Oh, yes. You're right. I missed it.
All
wow. It doesn't matter.
So today on Text the Nation, we are talking about... things that your parents go off on one about.
Yeah, like elements of pop culture that your mum and dad or older relatives just cannot compute. They don't understand. You know, it's like moments when you're watching the telly. Obviously, this is for younger listeners, but it used to happen to me when I was a kid. I'd be watching something on the telly. My dad would open the living room door. He'd look at the telly. He'd look at me and he'd go, "What is this nonsense?"
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Blake 7. What a load of rubbish.
I don't understand how you can watch this piffle.
Why are you watching it? Oh, my God. For my dad, it was Noel Edmonds.
Really?
He couldn't stand Noel Edmonds. And now we have my dad on the line. Nigel Buxton is with
us. Hey, before we speak to Nigel, let's just give the text number. It's 64046. You can email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. This is a national survey. We want to know, are the pop culture figures... people.
Doesn't necessarily have to be completely pop cultural, but just people in the public eye and also things as well.
Who your parents cannot tolerate, who really wind them up, who they've got a thing for.
Now, Dad, are you there?
I'm here.
Hello, Nigel. It's Joe here.
Good morning, Joe.
Very nice to hear you.
I have to say as well that I would not normally call my dad Dad. I would normally call him Daddy.
Well, call him Daddy.
But as we're on...
We've discussed this before on the radio.
What you like, as long as it's... Fairly polite.
Holmes?
Can I call you Daddy, Nigel?
By all means.
Thank you very much.
By all means.
So, has Adam explained the purpose of our call today, Nigel?
Yeah.
So what are the things or people that you tend to go off on one about?
I should think top of my list is, pretty near the top of my list is Bob Geldof.
Bob Geldof, we were talking about Bob yesterday, saying that his daughter, Peaches, seems to be the new bête noire of the tabloids.
Now, Nigel, without saying anything libelous or at all rude, why is it that Bob Geldof makes you so upset?
I think he's one of the leaders of what I call the great unwashed look. That's not the main reason he curdles the milk on my cornflakes. I'm not going so far to... suggests that he's insincere about his views on African poverty, but what gets me is that he's turned humanitarian concern into a colossal showbiz PR exercise.
Mm.
And what's worse than that, he bangs on about debt relief in not only a very simplistic, but I think rather ignorantly harmful way. The people who really know about the problem of African poverty pretty well agree that what Africa needs is political reform. Mm.
So do you get these, I mean, do you get these feelings when you just set eyes on him, Nigel? If you see him on telly,
it
makes you angry.
He's had so much exposure in the last few years that one can't avoid him.
But he's just trying to communicate these problems in a way that he feels the largest amount of people will be able to deal with and understand. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with it is it obscures what is really necessary. You see, political reform, which is what Africa needs, is not sexy.
Right.
No. In fact, weirdly, where...
is something that anyone can understand. You just say to someone who owes you a lot of money, well, don't bother to pay it back.
And that's some forms, that yeah.
His fans can relate to
some forms of
everyone, and including himself, feel pretty good.
Right. Some forms of debt relief are quite sexy, I find.
So who
I'll
else?
I'll tell you another one.
Yeah,
you asked me after all. another one.
Without going
is
into
Boris Johnson.
Right. Okay. Right. Boris Johnson. So without going into any actual policies, what are the things superficially that drive you mental about Boris?
He takes us all for fools. He himself is very well educated, which most Etonians are. He knows it. So he thinks he can afford to be flippant about things which the rest of us are usually rather serious about, because we ought to recognise that behind the bumbling buffoon with a superior intelligence and a needle-sharp brain. It's a kind of conceit, really.
And what sort of words are you likely to use, say, if you're flicking through the channels, Nigel, and you come across Boris Johnson? What kind of exclamation are you likely to make?
Explanation of what?
Exclamation? What are you likely to say to express your dislike of Boris Johnson?
He's in the way he comes across, he's a phony. He pretends to be a buffoon, and in fact, he's a shrewd, self-interested, calculating politician.
So you would plump for buffoon and phony for Boris Johnson, who a lot of people really like, and some people see as the acceptable face of conservatism. How have your feelings changed about Noel Edmonds, or have they?
No, I think Noel Edmonds is fairly harmless. I don't like people with his kind of beard.
Listen,
and his kind of hairstyle. And
Nigel, I think we'll keep you hanging on there if that's okay. But we should go to some music. This is Maximo Park with Girls Who Play Guitars.
This is Adam and Joe here on Six Music, covering for Sean Keaveney, and we're right in the middle of Text the Nation, an amazing feature where we ask people to communicate with us about a thing.
It's like a survey.
Mm-hmm.
That's my angle. It's
right.
Like a national survey.
National survey.
We have some of the nation's top brains listening to this program.
That's true.
500,000 of the cleverest people in the country, and we tap their, you know, collective hive mind.
Ooh.
Yeah?
Hive mind.
So our proposition today is about your parents or your older relatives. What people or aspects of modern life and pop culture make them really angry?
We were just talking to my dad there, Nigel Buxton, a.k.a. Bad Dad, and he was going on about a couple of his pet hates, Bob Geldof and Boris Johnson, and they are two people that as soon as they pop up on TV, he'll just immediately explode with, you know, that phony. Oh, that.
We've had a nice text, though, that says, your dad is so sweet. I have a great dad, but I want another one now, and I want your dad to be my second dad. And he's right, you know, about Bob and Boris. Idiots.
Oh, I don't know about idiots. I've got a lot of time for both Boris and Bob. Do you know what I mean? It's hard, isn't it, to... It's just hard.
It's very hard.
It's so hard.
Listen, here are some other texts that have come in. My granddad... this is from Tom in Wet Romford. My granddad cannot stand The Simpsons.
Right.
Quote, all those stupid yellow cartoon chaps. Turn that rubbish off. That's exactly the kind of thing we're looking for, Tom. That sort of instant dismissal.
Yes, exactly.
Of something that millions and billions of people adore.
No time for it whatsoever.
Yeah, only older people can get away with that kind of thing.
And sometimes it's because they really have thought about it. Sometimes it's just because it sort of hits them at the wrong angle.
I like the respectful use of the word chaps there, Tom. Mm. All those stupid yellow cartoon chaps. Here's another one from Chris in Aberdeen. And this is a kind of dislike that maybe a lot of us might share. My mum despises Ray Quinn. And who could blame her? As he is a ventriloquist dummy.
Who
now, he's the kind of young Karuna from The X Factor. You know the one? You don't watch that kind of thing, do you, Adam?
Karuna.
He nearly won the X Factor. And he does. He looks like a sort of evil ventriloquist dummy, as that texter said.
Right.
But I'm sure he's a very sweet chap. But there we go.
No time for Ray Quinn.
Chris in Aberdeen's mum hates Ray Quinn. If you can, like, quote anything your parents would say, that's what personally I love to hear, the actual kind of phrase or sentence your parents would say in disgust.
Yeah, my dad, with Noel Edmonds, it was always, that bearded creep.
What did your dad say about his beard? Anybody with that kind of beard?
Well, I think he's got a real problem with people that don't shave in general.
Right, with
and
beards in general.
He doesn't like beard. I've got a beard at the moment, and
he
sort of holds himself back from actually criticizing the beard. For a few weeks after he first saw me with it, he kept on saying, what is that for? But that people
What's
say
it for?
People sort of say that to me anyway.
Well, it's to nest birds. I'm breeding a rare species of tick.
I think his theory is that if you've got a beard or you don't shave, it shows that you're a lazy person, feckless person. Mm-hmm. Also, you're hiding something.
I agree with him.
That's the gist of it for my dad. We'll talk to him a bit later on about that.
Beards is a whole other factor. Here's a really good one from an anonymous texter. Saying that I think he or she has a parent or elderly relative who complains about anybody with a fringe which hangs lower than their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, covering up their lovely face.
That's what my mum used to say.
Significantly raising the risk of conjunctivitis.
Right. Back it up with a little medical
threat. Yeah, brilliant,
threat.
Brilliant, brilliant. Exactly. So keep those texts coming in. The text number is 64046. It's important that you all text us immediately with your best stories of people or things in popular culture that your parents dismiss out of hand.
We might try and get my dad back on the line in a few minutes, but first, here's Booker T and the MGs. It's a smash. Booker T.
Yeah, let's both say it. And the MGs.
And the MGs. I was going to say Booker T and the Memphis Group to be a bit of a sort of show-off muso-prat.
Wow.
Yeah, because that's what MG stands for, yeah? I'm not going to say anything else now.
Good morning, listeners. This is Adam and Joe on the BBC Six Music Breakfast Show, filling in for Sean Keaveney. It's nearly news time. It's nearly the top of the hour. But before we do that, we're talking about people or things in popular culture that your parents or elderly relatives kind of dismiss out of hand, that they kind of hate. And here's a good kind of spin on this. Kate Humphrey in Rugby has sent us an email that says, "My granddad dislikes quite a few people in the public eye, but it's the names he calls them that I find funny. Barbara Strident, Eric Clapped Out, Michael Flatfeet. I could go on, but I have to get to work. I wish you had gone on, Kate." That's really true, isn't it? Like mums and dads kind of inventing dismissive comedy names for things. I remember whenever I was watching Top of the Pops, and my dad would come into the front room and he'd go, "Not Top of the Flops." I think every parent calls Top of the Pops Top of the Flops, don't they?
Yeah, that's genius. Right now, here's Candy Payne. After the news, we will be talking once again to my dad and continuing to find out some more things that make your parents froth at the mouth.
BBC Six Music. Adam and Joe. Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
There we go. That's the brand new jingle. Today's new jingle for Text the Nation, our amazing sort of survey section of the show. We've had an email from the person who complained yesterday. The person responsible for having the jingle changed. His name is Chris. His email goes like this. "Wow, the new jingle is amazing. I feel so proud of myself for complaining. This is going on my CV as an achievement. Quote, successfully negotiated change of jingle on popular radio show." It's very nice of you to use the word popular there, Chris, and thanks very much for your interventionist behaviour.
Now, we're talking about things that make your parents go into a kind of furious ranting state. Have we got any more text stroke emails there?
We've got lots. Okay, here is a good one from Lindsay. "My mum hates Linda Bellingham. When she was in the gravy ads, the mum would growl, 'Oh, for Christ's sake,' at the telly. I've no idea what the root of her loathing was. 'Oh, for Christ's sake, Bellingham.' I don't know. I don't think you need logic for that."
Yeah, but she caused a sort of visceral reaction in many people, I remember.
Bellingham, yeah. Okay, here's another one from Tom in Canterbury. "My dad hates all hip-hop and thinks anything that has rapping in it is the Fugees. Turn this Fugees rubbish off is an oft-repeated demand." That's brilliant. All rapping is the Fugees. Here's another one from Abby in Edinburgh. "My mum goes into a spitting ball of fury at the mention of Celine Dion and her, quote, massive smug nose." And Catherine Zeta-Jones,
yeah.
She says, "Oh, she's got a greedy, beefy cleavage." A greedy, beefy cleavage.
That's good, though, isn't it? Isn't
she's
that a good
right.
Thing?
Your mum's a genius, Abby. Parents are so clever. They've lived. They know these things.
That's
true. They understand. They can detect these things.
My dad always used to have this thing. He said when he saw someone he didn't like, it used to be Jan Leeming a lot. When the news came along in the olden days and it was being read by Jan Leeming, "Oh, Jan Leeming. I'm putting her in my leaky boat in the North Atlantic."
Wow.
He had a leaky boat that he put people in. Noel Edmonds was going in there. He's going in the leaky boat.
That's nice because it's almost kind of viciously horrible. He's almost saying, "I want to kill the person."
Right.
But actually, he's putting them in a leaky boat, so they do have a minor chance of survival.
A chance.
They're in jeopardy, but they might be able to paddle to safety if they change their ways.
Now, let's play a little bit of music. Joe, this is your free choice, and then after this, I think we'll try and raise my dad.
I'm a bit worried about this, listeners. I've got a secret problem with the Paul McCartney album, Pipes of Peace.
Right, i.e. the problem is you love it.
I love it. And I've got a secret problem with this track from the Paul McCartney album, Pipes of Peace. It's called The Other Me. You know, I'm not saying this is a masterpiece, But I, you know, this, if I have a guilty pleasure, yeah. Not that we like that phrase, this would be it. And I can only apologise for inflicting it on you. I didn't know the staff here would actually pull it out and make me play it. So here it is. I love this, though. This is Paul McCartney with the other me.
Hello. Hey, this is Adam and Joe here, filling in for Sean Keaveney on BBC Six Music. So, Joe Cornish, the other me there by Paul McCartney.
Hello, listeners. My name's Joe Cornish.
Quite a song.
I'd like to officially apologise for making you listen to that. I like it.
Yep.
But then it doesn't mean that you like it. So I'm really sorry, particularly to Jason in Stockholm. He's listening in Stockholm, and he's actually emailed in, "No, sorry, you're wrong. This is dreadful. Please stop playing this and never, ever play it again in private or public." Not even in private, Jason in Stockholm. That's harsh.
He's got a restraining order on it.
I will obey you.
All right, then.
What now?
Now, Text the Nation, we are talking about things that make your parents go into a fits of fury. And we've had a lot of texts and emails from people about various things that their parents fly into a rage about.
Most of them are now about stopping McCartney, actually. We've had a whole flurry of stop this, stop it, stop McCartney.
Can't believe we played it the whole way through. I suggested we come out of it early.
I like the dustbin lyric.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Anyway, yeah, we've been inviting you to text us in as part of our Text the Nation type thing. Things in pop culture or the world that make your parents or grandparents incensed for no rational reason. And we've got so many good ones here. Here we go. This is from Ollie in St. Ives. My dad calls Bill Oddie Odd Billy.
That's not so insulting, though. That's fair enough, isn't it?
Here's another one from Lizzie. My mum hates Tracy Emin. That dirty cow in that filthy bed. That's not art. But you know, usually swears a lot more.
That's a good one. My dad's got a lot to say about
Man, modern art is a real Achilles heel for all parents, surely.
They all go off on one about that.
Yeah.
It's just a pile of bricks. I mean, it's ludicrous.
Politicians are good targets for parents and elderly relatives as well. Lucy in Colchester says, my late granddad used to go, that Tony Blair. You know what I call him? Jelly Baby Blair. He's got no backbone.
Nice.
I like the, do you know what I call him, before the reveal of the name.
Yeah.
It's like teasing it a bit. Here's something in reference to parents and grandparents. Despisal of any beard or facial hair growth, mm-hmm. relating to what you were saying earlier, Adam. This is Sean in Ladbroke Grove. My dad says, why would I cultivate something on my face which grows wild around my bottom?
Yeah, well, that's a fair point, isn't it? We'll talk to my dad about that in a second. But first, here's a bit more music. This is Beth Orton with Concrete Sky. That's Beth Orton with Concrete Sky. This is Adam and Joe here on Six Music. We have my father, Nigel Buxton, on the line to chat to us a tiny bit more about things that get him furious. Did you enjoy Beth Orton there, Dad?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy Paul McCartney before that?
Paul McCartney?
He didn't hear Paul McCartney before.
Well, I'm not a great fan of Paul McCartney, I'm afraid.
Why not? What do you think of Paul McCartney?
I think he's past his shelf life, really.
Steady on.
He was quite engaging about 100 years ago as one of the Beatles, but I think he should have retired, really.
That makes it sound like you used to really be into the Beatles, and now you
say
think...
Again?
You're making it sound as if you used to really like the Beatles, but now you've gone off them. That's not the case, though, is it?
Well, I think everything has its time, and the Beatles were a long time ago. They were rather engaging when they were young and fresh.
Yeah.
But Paul McCartney really ought to have retired to an island, I think.
So, Nigel, can I just run past you some of the responses we're getting from our listeners here?
Say again?
I'm just going to read to you some of the responses we're getting from our listeners.
Okay.
There's a listener whose mum hates...
This is not a very good line, but...
What, should we persevere?
What?
Can you here we go. Tracy Emin was one that came up. You have some fairly strong views on Tracy Emin, don't you?
Yes, I think she is the nearest thing to poison that I've seen on in public for a long time.
What's wrong with Tracy Emin? I think she's entertaining, and her stuff is funny.
She's a tremendous fraud, like so much of the world of pop art.
What about Paddy Ashdown? What do you think of Paddy Ashdown?
Oh, he's all right. He's harmless.
Ah.
He's all right.
That's really good. That's the closest thing to praise.
I think, like many Lib Dems, he's not entirely plausible, but I think he's a... he's an agreeable man. Mm.
How about hip-hop music, Nigel? What do you think of hip-hop music?
I don't know much about it, and I'm not very keen on... you may be surprised, but I'm not very keen on giving my views on something I don't know anything about. So I don't really...
The closest you've been to hip-hop was meeting Coolio back in L.A. when we were...
Oh, Coolio. Yes, well, he was good fun. I can't pretend I'm a great fan of hip-hop music, but I'm nothing against it.
And he was a nice shame. Guy.
And finally, you've got a problem with people that don't shave.
Well, yes, I hate film actors and male models who think it's sexy not to wash and shave. Seems to me extremely perverse.
You're assuming that just because they have a little bit of stubble, they don't wash. I think most of them wash. They just cultivate a sort
well,
of smooth.
Well, this is the trouble. One can't tell. If they can't be bothered to shave, it's quite possible they don't bother to wash or use deodorant. There's something rather creepy about them.
How are you dealing with my beard at the moment?
Well, I assume that your beard is for good professional purposes. It's not because you think you look more beautiful with a beard.
No.
Possibly you do. But I put it down to a professional necessity.
All right, fair enough. Hey, Daddy, thanks a lot for calling us today, and thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, Nigel. Good to speak to you.
Bye now.
Bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Well, that's great stuff. That was Bad Dad there, just weighing in on our epic text, The Nation. We've had so many emails that we and texts that we might have to do one more little go at this after the next song.
Which is... Oh, what a peach. It's... I've got to stop calling things peaches. This is a delightful plum from the House Martins, and it's Sheep.
Hooray, the House Martins there with Sheep. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Here are some more texts that have come in about things that make your parents annoyed for irrational reasons. You ready, Adam?
Yeah, go on.
Hi, Chris in Aberdeen again. My dad once said he'd love to punch Jerry Halliwell in the face.
That's a bit much, isn't it?
Well, I didn't say it. Chris didn't say it.
You know,
her
usually,
dad said it.
Usually the parents at least dress things up. You know, they put them in a leaky boat or they call them funny names. It's not usually as direct as that.
Well, that's what makes that quite exciting, that text. Here's another one. Reed from Oakham. Hello, Joe and Adam. My dad used to say, Neil Diamond, money for old rope. I have no idea why.
That's not true. Anyway, he's a genius.
Jen in Soho. My dad gets enraged at the Neighbours theme and end credits before the 6 o'clock news starts. He turns the sound off, tuts and groans at it.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. It's a dreadful noise.
Tony Hatch, isn't it?
It's something like that. It used to be. They remixed it, though, recently.
That's right.
Made it new. Here's Tom again. Tom again. Tom, he must have texted before. My grandma hates anything on TV to do with space or sci-fi. I'm not watching that. It's just silly. Says grandma. That is a precise impression of Tom's grandma as well. And finally, Zoe says, my mam hates songs that have sirens in them. She thinks it should be against the law in case you get confused when you're driving. Oh, don't we just love our mums and dads and our grands and grandpas?
My mum got in an absolute fury the other day because she was watching Jonathan Ross's TV show and the Arctic Monkeys were on there and they were performing in clown costumes. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh.
And she just got incensed and she wouldn't shut up about it. I saw that because we went to see the Arctic Monkeys playing in France when we were there and they were amazing. And she was saying, oh, the Arctic Monkeys. Yes, I saw them on Jonathan Ross's program. They were dressed as clowns. I thought it was pathetic.
Maybe she's got, there's a name for clown phobia, isn't there?
Yeah.
Flora, something, there's the issue of the 14 Times was all about it.
Now, what's the problem with dressing like a, well, it was just pathetic, I thought. I mean, why? Well, just, but you know, just for fun. Yes, but, oh, it was pathetic. I thought they looked silly. So, yeah, she wasn't having any of it.
Mums and dads, eh?
What are you going to do with them?
Hey,
hey. Oh,
this is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's coming up to 9:30 and time for the news with Joe and Catherine. That's Frank Black with Headache. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, filling in for Sean W. Keaveney while he's sunning his sexy body somewhere in Italy.
Absolutely. We don't know exactly where.
Eating sun-dried tomatoes.
If we find out the location, we will give it out on air.
Yeah, so just so that he can be punished
exactly.
For his leisure.
So if you're in Italy, you can go and make friends with him.
Okay, it's Album of the Daytime. Album of the Day today is Oasis's classic, What's the Story, Morning Glory.
Cover star of that album?
Sean Rowley's shoes.
Sean Rowley.
Is it Sean Rowley?
Yeah, with his back to the camera.
There you go.
Walking down a street in London. I can't remember which street it is.
Now, this track was released, the album was released in 1995. It was their second album, and the follow-up to Definitely Maybe. Am I making this sound as if I'm just saying this off the top of my head?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ask me some more stuff. Ask me about whether the band are releasing a new DVD. Yes, they are. Oh. On the 29th of October, it's called Lord, Don't Slow Me Down, and it's about the Don't Believe the Truth World Tour, which took place from May 2005 to March 2006.
Do you want a little name-dropping story now?
Oh, I suppose so.
I was at Dave Walliams' birthday party on the weekend.
He's over.
Walliams?
I'm only joking. He's just begun. Go on, keep talking.
And Noel Gallagher was there.
He's over.
He's...
I'm only joking.
Yeah.
I'm just jealous. Keep going.
Right. And he shot me a look.
Did he?
He shot me a little look. Yeah.
Wow. What did the look say?
It said, you. And his girlfriend, Sarah, also shot me the same look.
So you didn't talk to them?
You prat.
It sounds like a great party.
But I got nice looks from everyone else. And here's the thing. David Tennant, Doctor Who.
Yes.
He came up to me and he said, David introduced me to David Tennant and said, oh, this is David Tennant. Do you know each other? And David said, yes, we've met before, haven't we? Shaking my hand. And I said, I don't know if we have. And he's like, oh, God, no, I've just seen you on telly. Oh, how embarrassing to
wow,
me.
Wow, isn't that exciting?
And you would think that I'm easily the least well-known person out of that.
Who are you?
Exactly.
Who are you?
That's what I'm asking. And I got nervous props off David Tennant. I was very happy.
That's exciting, man. But listen, back to the album of the day. Oasis with What's the Story, Morning Glory. The track we're playing is Hey Now, and you can hear further tracks from the album throughout the day here on BBC Six Music. That's the album of the day here on BBC Six Music. Hey Now from What's the Story, Morning Glory by a band called Oasis.
Oasis. Oh, it's you prat.
Now, I did say we weren't going to go back to our fantastic Text the Nation thing, but we've had a couple of texts that just have to be read out. Of course, we were asking listeners to let us know about things that infuriate their parents or grandparents. My gran, this is from Jay in Surrey, my gran goes through the paper and scribbles Victoria Beckham's face out.
She's another good example, actually, of one that gets...
I wonder what your
parents.
Dad would think about Victoria Beckham. Yeah. I have enough trouble dealing with her, let alone if I was, like, over 70.
What is the... Can you encapsulate the problem you have with Victoria Beckham?
Well, you know, a word your dad uses a lot, Adam, is the word absurd.
Yeah.
And she is kind of the personification of absurdity, isn't she? She looks absurd.
Mm-hmm.
She says absurd things. She seems to lead an absurd life.
Yeah.
She launches absurd products. Product.
She's too thin.
She's much too thin. It's like a terribly racist accent. It wasn't intended to be, but it just sort of came out that way.
Sort of turned into one.
I quickly changed the subject. Here's another email on the same subject. One of my dad's favourites is to comment on people on the TV, comment on their physical defects. His favourite are bald people wearing wigs. So, for example, when an actor wearing a wig walks into any scene on any TV show, he'll be greeted by my dad shouting at the telly, "Here he comes, Wiggy Van Wig."
Nice, he's really thought about that, hasn't
he? So when an actor's playing a detective, it'll be followed up by, "Oh yeah, what are you going to do about that, Wiggy Van Wig?"
Wig.
Wiggy wig.
The wig wig.
The wigster. Wiggly wig.
Wig boy, wig man. Now it's time for a free choice. This is one that I have selected for you.
Is it another Paul McCartney track off the Pipes of Peace?
You know, I really wanted to play just the same song that you play.
So, The Other Me.
Exactly. The Other Me by Paul McCartney from Pipes of Peace. So, you know, I'm going to play it again.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
I'm doing a little bit of mockery. No, it's by Brendan Benson. And Brendan Benson may be known to some people as one half of the Raconteurs with Jack White. That's his side project. His main project is just being himself, just being Brendan. And this is from his excellent second album, which I found out the name of and now I've forgotten again. Oh, I'm such a jerk. But it's a really...
I knew the name of the McCartney album.
Alternative to Love. Yes, I remembered. And the song is called What I'm Looking For. Hope you enjoy it.
This is Adam and Joe on Six Music, coming up to the last, like, 8 minutes of our show, but they're going to be an amazing 8 minutes because we've got that brilliant Edwin Collins track coming up and a little bit of Arctic Monkeys.
Joe's got his hood up on his top.
Is that wrong?
And he's wearing his headphones over the hood. He looks like, what do you look like? You look like
Cool,
a,
Mr. Cool.
That's what you look like. You look like Mr. Cool. I was trying to think, who is it? Is it Mr. Pratt? Is it Mr. is it Mr. Nobles or is it Mr. Cool?
Mr. Nobles? I'm interested in Mr. Nobles.
It's a combination of Mr. Nobles and Mr. Cool.
Oh, no, hang on. Now I get Mr. Nobles. It's the beginning of the word Nobles, isn't it?
I'm going home tonight, and when I get home, I'm going to watch some TV.
As exciting stuff.
No.
Okay, here's a record by, where's this going?
The end of that was that while I'm watching TV, I'm going to be nervous because I've got new neighbours, right?
Mm.
And for the last few nights, when they get back from work, I'm assuming, they start doing all the, putting the house to rights, and they mm-hmm. start putting up pictures. So they're banging while I'm listening to or watching the TV. Now, what is, so far, they have not gone beyond 9 p.m. with the banging.
Mm.
Would you say that's appropriate behaviour? What's the cutoff for putting up pictures?
I think 9 p.m. is probably right. You've got to think of the children.
Right.
What time do children generally go to bed?
Well, they go to bed way before 9 p.m.
Well, then that's irresponsible.
Uh-huh.
They should know you've got young children, and they should stop their banging.
Banging.
Earlier in the evening.
You know, sometimes before I had children and I was a less respectful member of the society, when I moved into a flat, I used to do a bit of late night putting up pictures. But my technique to throw off the neighbours would be to do random banging. Do you know what I mean?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, not regular. I thought it would be more annoying if it was like bang, 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 bang. So what I would do is bang, 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 bang.
I tell you, a better technique would be to be nailing in like 7 nails simultaneously in different areas around the house and do one bang on each nail at a time.
Ooh.
You know,
get
so
your friends around.
Yeah, no, it'd be just like moving around the house.
Oh, okay.
So there'd be a bang in the wall in the front room, then suddenly one in the attic. And just as they were complaining about that one, you know, you get my drift.
Yeah, that would confuse them.
Listen, here's this fantastic new single by Edwin Collins. This is You'll Never Know. Fantastic. This is Edwin Collins with You'll Never Know. And he's got a new album coming out, his 6th solo album. It'll be out on the 17th of September. And it's called Home Again. And I personally am very excited about that.
It's a kind of a Philly soul sound.
Yeah, I love the sound of that.
Very good.
This has been Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Thanks for listening. Thanks to everybody who's texted and emailed us. We'll be back again tomorrow morning. Believe it or not, at 7 a.m.
Here's the Arctic Monkeys with Fluorescent Adolescent. Have a very fantastic day and stay tuned for Gideon Coe.
Bye.